Hello, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Dragon Talk Podcast, your host, Tim Ronka. I'd like to thank everyone here for stopping by and giving this a listen. I really appreciate it. I have to apologize for the last edition was not up, and reason for that being I was pretty sick when I tried to make it, and I tried recording one, and it came out pretty bad. It could barely hear me because I was kind of raspy and everything, but I am back this time and got a pretty good segment with you guys. One thing I just want to talk about before I get started here is I've had a lot of suggestions from people, from readers and listeners, for this, that perhaps I should get someone to do this with me, or perhaps get some interviews. If you have any suggestions like that, you know anyone who I should get, or perhaps even you want to do this with me, please send me an email or leave a message there on the podcast page, or IM me, whatever you want to do, because that'd be great, and I'm always looking for stuff like that. So, but this time around, though, I'm going to address a certain issue. And this issue actually involves TNA. Now, I talk about TNA a lot, and the reason I do so is basically I think that they have a lot of potential, but they still have tons of problems that are making it from becoming a more mainstream company. One problem being Jeff Jarrett, and that is the problem I want to talk about right now. Now, I want to start this off by saying I have no problem with Jeff Jarrett. In fact, I think that he actually is one of my favorite wrestlers. I'm going to go that far and say that. I mean, he's always had problems during his entire career getting any kind of heat, whether it be face or heel heat. Some of us might remember his rock star gimmick in the early 90s in the old WWF, where he was trying to be a country music star and just could not get to that level. And I actually enjoyed that gimmick, but it didn't really get him over that well. So, he tried other things. He's teaming up with Owen Hart, he was at his best during then. Then he went to WCW. I even enjoyed him there, where he was Vince Russo's chosen one. That was, a pretty good gimmick, and he had that slap nuts catchphrase and stuff like that. But now he's basically, what he does right now is kind of a mix of his entire career, which is okay at this point, because a lot of guys in his stage that have been wrestling, I think he's been wrestling 19 years, tend to like to make a hybrid of what they are. You can look at guys like The Undertaker, he's the hybrid. Even Triple H, to an extent, is kind of visiting his roots as being the snobby guy, but also trying to be like the badass character. You can look at that, he's almost like a combination of those two right now. So that's not very uncommon for that to happen. The thing with Jeff Jarrett, the problem is with him, is he has just gotten very, very stale. Now, I'm not saying that because he's had the championship for so long. That is understandable, and I actually think that's a good thing for the belt, to make sure that it's always, that's on someone for a long time. My problem with that is it's just pay-per-view after pay-per-view, that title defense after title defense, it's the same thing over and over again. We have, interference from seemingly hundreds of people, whether it be like America's Most Wanted or Team Canada or anyone from the quote-unquote Planet Jarrett faction, and then he sneaks up from behind them, hits them with a guitar, hits the stroke, which is, by the way, very anticlimactic, and then the match is over. Stuff like that, it just gets so irritating and so boring, because it's the same thing in and out. Now, I actually thought at Turning Point this past Sunday, the TNA's pay-per-view, I thought that they might actually, for once, have a straight main event, because, the show is starting off pretty on the below average side, and then it got better as the night went on. I was hoping that maybe that we'd have a main event with no interference, because we already saw Jarrett beat Rhino with interference. But lo and behold, we had probably more interference in that match than I can ever think of. I mean, we had everyone running in there. And, of course, the guitar is used and the stroke and all that fun stuff. Now, of course, we all knew Rhino wasn't going to win. I think a lot of people were kind of onto that. But you didn't have to have Jarrett cheat to win, as always. I mean, he has to realize that although he is a heel and heels cheat, which is one of their, top qualities, he doesn't have to do it every single time. That's the problem. And it's just, it's gotten so stale and so boring. It's just, it's no wonder that fans, chant F you Jarrett and all these, things at him in Orlando. And it's just, it's at the point now where it needs to be fixed. Now, I have an idea of how this can be fixed, and I actually saw this same idea in the last edition of Pro Wrestling Insider. I'm not really a big fan of that magazine, but I was bored one day, and I think it was at a Walmart, and I was reading an article in there. And it had a lot of the thoughts that I was thinking of. And it's basically about a way to rebook Jarrett. Now, of course, for the past 2 years, ever since Jarrett's been dominating the title situation in TNA, people have been coming up with suggestions for him to sort of, make things a little more different. One suggestion was make him the total heel where he never needs interference. He's just booked that damn good where no one can beat him. And I think that that's actually a good way to do it, definitely. I mean, because it definitely gives credibility to him and the championship. And it will, I think it would be a moneymaker to see someone knock him off that perch. Okay? Now, well, actually, I want to go into that right now, too, before I keep going on here. The kind of heat Jarrett has is bad heat. Now, there are many people out there who will argue that there is no such thing as good heat and bad heat, and that all heat is good. In Jarrett's case, that's definitely not it. He has the kind of heat that's, quote-unquote, go away, and people don't want to see him. Okay, that's when heat is bad. Now, guys like Triple H had heat, the heat he had in 2000, and, you know, heat like Hulk Hogan had in WCW when he was part of the NWO. That was good heat, because that was money-making heat. That was where people wanted to pay to boo them. They wanted to pay to see someone beat them. That's when heat is good. That's when heat is good for business. But then you look at guys like JBL, who the very first few months of his title reign, and even his during his entire title reign to an extent, there was very low buy rates. House show attendance was the lowest it had ever been. Ratings were down. You know, SmackDown was pretty much a big mess then, because he had the kind of heat that was like, this guy sucks, we don't want to pay to see him, get him the hell out of my screen. And yet, he had the belt for an entire year. That's what Jarrett has right now. I think that the fact that he has a championship belt is making people not want to watch TNA. And that's where things are getting bad. I think that if they put the belt on a young face, or someone other than Jarrett, even, I mean, I think they're leaning towards Christian right now. We don't know if that's going to happen or not. It just has to get on someone that isn't that way. Now, in the meantime, they could rebook Jarrett in a completely different way by not having him only be the dominant heel instead of the cheating heel, but he could also play up his real-life character on TV. Now, right now, he has this gimmick where he's, you know, fearing upper management in TNA. First of all, we don't really know who this is. On TV, all really shown is Larry Zbysko, who apparently represents the TNA Championship Committee. But most fans of TNA's audience, because they are a quote-unquote smarky audience, know that that's not the case, and Jarrett is actually the main intelligence behind why TNA is run. In fact, it was his idea in the first place. He pitched it to his dad, and his dad opened it up, Jerry Jarrett. Why not play that character on TV? I mean, look what it did to Vince McMahon. You know, beforehand, he was nothing. You know, he was just an announcer. But as soon as he became an on-air character and became the heel that had all the power and could do whatever he wanted and make all the faces' lives a living hell, that catapulted into Austin McMahon in, like, the biggest boom period that wrestling had ever seen. I think that Jarrett should play this up on TV. Instead of playing the scared, you know, little scared heel, scared of the TNA upper management, who really don't know who that is, he could just come out and say what his life position is. He can say, I'm the booker, I make the decisions around here, you know, I'm the new director of authority. That could be his position. And I think that'd be a money-making thing, definitely, because people would pay to see someone get Jarrett off that perch. You know, right now, it's just, they expect the same thing over and over again. I bet, like, many people didn't buy Turning Point because they knew Rhino wasn't going to win, and on top of that, they knew that Rhino would come nowhere close because of all the interference. I bet had Jarrett had all the power there where he could make any decision he wanted, like he could make the stipulations and put everything against Rhino, then that would sell more pay-per-views because people like to see a good guy, you know, fight through all these terrible things that the bad guy is doing to them. I mean, it's classic mythology right there, you know. It's kind of like they want to see the guy fight through the odds, you know. WWE is doing that right now with John Cena. Now, I think they do it a little bit too much to an extent. Like, they had a submission match, and they have handicap matches and blindfold matches, and it's the same thing week after week. Even that gets stale, but at the same time, it is more exciting than having, say, you know, Triple H, when he had the title, just constantly cheat and barely, you know, pull out the win at the end. So, I think that this is something TNA can pull off. It's going to take a bit of a transition, I think. I think that they're going to need to take the belt off Jarrett for at least a few months, put him in the mid-card, and let him develop this new persona, and then go back up to the belt. Because at least we'll be seeing something different than before. Right now, we've been seeing the same thing since June of 2004, where Jarrett has had the championship, and anytime he loses it, he only loses it for like a month or two, gets it back. You know, and the last time he lost it, he only had it gone like literally a week, not even, I think. And that stuff like that is just, it has to go, to be honest. And I think that TNA could, if they got a little bit smarter here, you know, use their booking committee, if they even have one anymore, I'm not really sure what this current situation is, and use that against Jarrett and, you know, stop letting him make all the decisions. I think that this could be a very good business proposition for TNA, and I think that they could pull this off. So, alrighty, well, I believe that is all I have for this week. I'm coming up on about 9 minutes and 45 seconds here. I hope you enjoyed that, and I hope that you guys took those ideas, and yeah, I'd like to see what you think about that. You know, I was gonna write a column on that, but I'm not really a fan of biography columns and focusing on, you know, certain negatives and stuff like that. It's easier to talk about it and easier to argue it. So again, I would really like ideas for this show. You know, if there's any ideas, like whether you want like media or interviews, or if you want even like kind of like a argument situation where I'm here with someone else, I mean, we could do something like that. But your suggestions are all welcome. If you leave suggestions on the podcast page where it says the comments box, you can do that, but it doesn't prompt you to leave an email or any screen name or anything. So if you could just do that on your own, that's what I can get back to you, because I like to get back to all people that send me feedback. That could be great. And of course, there's always a traditional way of emailing me or IMing me, like a lot of people do. So, all right, well, this is the last podcast and column of 2005. So I'd like to wish everyone a happy holidays and a happy new year, and I'll be back after January 1st. And until next time, guys, this has been From the Eye of the Dragon.